In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Keys are powerful, aren't they? Keys can open up doors so that you can get places you otherwise would not be able to get. Keys can lock doors so that you can protect things you otherwise would not be able to protect. Keys can start a vehicle or another machine. They can open up safety deposit boxes. They can even keep you safe from violent criminals by locking those criminals behind bars. Yes, keys are powerful. In fact, keys are so powerful that many of us clip our keys to our belts or keep them in our pocket or purse at all times because we know there would be trouble if we lost our keys or if they fell into the wrong hands. And if that's how powerful keys are here on earth, even though they were created by men, well, then just imagine how powerful the keys our Lord Savior Jesus gives to us today. For in our text, did you see Jesus give you keys? For after talking about the steps of repentance, the steps of dealing with someone who is living in a sin, Jesus says these words. He says, "Amen, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And with those words, as well as words in Matthew 16 and John 20, Jesus gave to his church the keys. The keys which are able to lock up or unlock the gates of heaven. And when we think about these keys, which really do lock up or unlock the gates of heaven, when we think of these keys, we can't help but marvel at how powerful these keys really are. For let's start with the binding key. That's the power to withhold forgiveness from someone. The power to refuse to forgive someone. For as Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And when we use this binding key, we really are locking up the gates to heaven. We really are sticking the key inside of the door to heaven and turning it so that it is barred shut, making it impossible for that particular person to enter. And while that seems like an unloving thing to do, while it seems contrary to why we as a church exist, it is actually extremely loving to use this binding key in a specific situation. For the purpose of this binding key, the purpose of refusing to forgive someone and locking up the gates of heaven, the purpose is all to urge that sinner to repent. For think about when we use the binding key. We don't use the binding key when we think a sin is really bad. No, all sins are wicked and evil in God's eyes. Nor do we use the binding key when we wonder if somebody really is sorry for their sins and we want them to prove it to us. Forgiveness is not conditional. It is based on the blood of Christ and not something we do on our own at all. Rather, we use this binding key in one situation and one situation only. We use this binding key when a sinner is refusing to repent of their sins. For look at the example, the situation that Jesus describes at the beginning of our text. He says, a brother sins against you. And a brother in this context is a fellow Christian. And what the sin is really doesn't matter. It could be a big sin or a small sin. It could be an offensive sin or a sin that is really insignificant. What the sin was isn't a big deal. But what is a big deal is that sinner's reaction to his sin. That will determine whether or not you use the binding key. For if you go and show this sinner his fault just between the two of you, If you take two or three along with you, if you then even get the church involved and all of you show this sinner from Scripture how he is living in a sin and that sinner is still refusing to repent, Jesus clearly says, treat him as an unbeliever or a tax collector. For if somebody will not confess their sins, if they will not acknowledge their guilt before God and beg God for mercy, that's when it's necessary to use the binding key. That's when it's necessary to refuse forgiveness to that person and lock up the gates of heaven before him. For while it is true that Jesus has died for every single sin that every single person has committed, while that is most definitely true, if someone refuses to repent of their sins, if they refuse to acknowledge their guilt and beg God for mercy, they cannot receive the forgiveness that Christ won for them. They are rejecting that forgiveness from Jesus. They are throwing it away. And so at that point, it's necessary to use the binding key. It's necessary and loving to tell that sinner that he is not forgiven and to lock the gates of heaven before him. For it's also that sinner can see how serious his sin is, can see how serious his unrepentance is, in the hopes that he will turn from his wicked ways and repent, as Ezekiel said in our Old Testament lesson. And while our flesh will revolt against that, while our flesh will claim that this binding key is so unloving, especially if a pastor or an elder or a parent or a friend or relative has to use that binding key on us, while our flesh will always be offended by this binding key is most definitely used in love, because through this binding key, Christ himself is at work, calling that sinner to repentance. And as soon as a sinner repents of their sin, no matter what the sin was, no matter how long it took, as soon as that sinner repents of his sin, that's when we get to use the other key which Christ has given to the church, the loosing key. For think about what the loosing key is. The loosing key is the power to forgive someone their sins. As Jesus said, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And when we use this loosing key, we really are unlocking the gates of heaven. We are putting the key into the door of heaven and turning it so that the bars are unloosed and the gates are flung wide open for someone to enter. And just as with the binding key, we use this loosing key in love. For the purpose of the loosing key, the purpose of proclaiming forgiveness and opening up the kingdom of heaven to someone, the purpose of this loosing key is to comfort and assure the sinner that eternal life in heaven is theirs. For think about when we use the loosing key. We do not use the loosing key if we think the sin is small or insignificant. No, all sins are wicked and evil in God's eyes. Nor do we use the loosing key if we feel like the person really is sorry and has somehow proved to us that they have made enough amends for their sins. Remember, forgiveness is not conditional. It's won by the blood of Christ and given to us based on nothing that we do. Instead, we use this loosing key in one situation and one situation only. We use this loosing key when a sinner repents of their sins. For let's go back to the situation that is described in our text of a man who sins against you. Remember, it does not matter what the sin is. It could be big or small. It could be offensive or insignificant in your eyes. What the sin is not a big deal. But what is a big deal is that person's reaction to their sin. That will determine whether or not you use the loosing key. For if you go and show this sinner his fault, if you take two or three others with you, if you even get the church involved, and at some time during those steps, that person repents of his sin and begs God for mercy, Jesus says, you have regained your brother. For if someone confesses their sin, if they acknowledge that what they have done is wrong and beg God for mercy, that person is repentant of their sin. And whenever a person is repentant of their sin, that's when we have the privilege of using this loosing key, of forgiving their sins and opening up the kingdom of heaven for them. For Jesus really has died for every single sin that every single person has committed. No matter how big the sin is in the eyes of the world, Jesus has forgiven each and every sin, including all the sins that you have committed. And so if anyone repents of their sins, if anyone, including you, acknowledge your guilt as you did earlier in this service and beg God for mercy, you will be forgiven. That person will be washed in the blood of Christ, and the gates of heaven will be open for that person. And so it's necessary to use this loosing key. It's necessary to proclaim forgiveness to the repentant and assure them that the gates of heaven will be open. For it's all to comfort and assure the sinner of how gracious and merciful and compassionate God is despite our many sins. He is still gracious and merciful and compassionate. For he does not desire the death of the wicked, as Ezekiel said in our Old Testament lesson, but rather they turn from their wicked ways and live. And while your flesh will even revolt against this loosing key, because it just doesn't make sense that forgiveness can be that easy, while your flesh will try to continue to bind you up in your sins, your flesh is no match for this loosing key. For when this loosing key is used, even if a pastor or an elder or a parent or another friend and relative uses that loosing key on you, when this loosing key is used, Christ himself is at work through this key, just as he is through the binding key. Only with the loosing key, Christ is at work to wash the sinner in his blood and remove all guilt from him. And in the end, that's why these two keys which Christ has given the church are so powerful. Whether it's the binding key which withholds forgiveness from the unrepentant until they repent, or whether it's the loosing key which gives forgiveness to the repentant, both these keys are powerful because Christ is at work through them. Christ is the one who is really withholding forgiveness from those who refuse to repent, for he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And Christ is the one who is really forgiving the sins of those who repent, for he says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Yes, Christ is the one who really is at work through these powerful keys. And so may we as a church, and even individually, but especially may we as a church, may we faithfully and boldly use these keys which Christ has given to us. May we faithfully and boldly withhold forgiveness from those who refuse to repent, and may we faithfully and boldly forgive those who do repent. Yes, may we faithfully and boldly use these keys. For when we use these keys, which Christ himself has given to the church, when we use these keys properly, the power of Christ is at work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.